Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, hi. Thank you for coming to check in. Whether you're live with us tonight or if you're going on demand, you can actually go to Blog Talk Radio / Transformation Cafe and check into all of our back shows, which have been, gosh, we've got quite a few back shows now that are just all just so wonderful. And also, we do have our chat room open, so we want to encourage you guys to go ahead and do that. Another call number, again, just in case you want to get into the switchboard, is 646-727-3206. Again, that's 646-727-3206. And just as always, we've always got some people just sitting around ready to nosh on some light meal conversation going on here. Miss Marvine Lindberg is over here. Hey, Miss Lindberg, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. And Mr. Jamie, as always, I just love having him on a regular basis here with us here at the cafe. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, most excellent. This is Mr. Jamie calling from the great Pacific Northwest.
The great.
Seattle, Washington.
The great and fabulous, the magnificent Pacific Northwest. There we go. Hey, has it been really cold there for you? Because I know down here
in
Southern California, it's been like a little chillier than normal, that's for sure.
Yes, it has.
We have snow.
You got snow?
Yeah.
No, we didn't get snow. Oh, you see, San Diego did, right?
Yeah, but we got snow, too.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Did you sing Jingle Bells and stuff when you like look out the window and you've got the little flurries going on? Or
I wouldn't go that far, but I did enjoy the big flakes, and I was really grateful that they were going to melt quickly.
Tina, you didn't even tell me that. Like, we do a little pre-show before we go live, and she did not tell me about the snow. I would have been going, oh, man, because actually I saw her on Saturday. Was that on Saturday that you got the snow, Marvine?
Wait, I'm thinking. No, I think it was Sunday.
Oh, it was Sunday. Okay. So,
yeah.
There we go. Hey, Miss Gloria has just decided to come on to the cafe. Hey, Miss Gloria. How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Great.
Who's around the table?
We're around our table tonight. We've got our regular Mr. the fabulous, magnificent Mr. Jamie is sitting with us tonight, and we have Miss Marvine Lindberg is with us tonight as well. Oh, like wave down the waiter here, and we'll get some appetizers going. So that's always good. Okay, so we were thinking. I was talking to Marvine earlier today about what we might want to talk about, and I'm just kind of going to put it out there on the table and see where you guys are all with that. So it just seems that there's been projects lately, for whatever reason, that I keep wanting to put them in the back burner, and there's just this certain level of procrastination about things that have been kind of going on with my life. You know, want to get them done, but on a certain level, I just allow myself to get preoccupied with other things that aren't necessarily, you know, as important as some things that need to get done. It's kind of like, you know, when you need to have that, you need to study for your final exam, and all of a sudden you decide you want to clean out the refrigerator. Yeah, stuff like that. Or going back to our college days here, you know. I've been guilty of that, you know. Say it again.
Yeah, please say that again.
I said, you know, it's just like when you're, I've had episodes where I would be having to study for a final exam in college, and all of a sudden I would have to clean my refrigerator. You know,
are you looking for resolution or redemption?
I'm looking for a snack. Yeah. I think I was looking for a snack at that point, but I don't know, you know. You just don't want to study, so you're like, let me look in the refrigerator. The next thing you know, you start throwing away all the, you know, your leftovers that you know it's been 3 or 4 days. I'm like, wow, I need to clean up my leftovers, you know. So anyway, just thought I wanted to kind of put that out there for you guys about just, you know, feelings on any level lately of just projects that you kind of put aside. You don't really know why, and you know there's things you need to get done.
I do it on a daily basis, and I think part of it is, as you guys kind of know, I'm kind of in limbo with some areas, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of at a point with, for example, with packing, because I have no idea when we're going to move, mm-hmm. But I am doing some last-minute things like that. But I think one of the things that happens is every once in a while, every one of us has a tendency just to need a bit of escape without a huge amount of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, too, is sometimes when we think we're procrastinating, we may not be aware of it, but we're creating in other parts of our mind, and we are thinking. It's not like our mind shuts down. It's just it changes direction for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know sometimes with like that, I think I'm procrastinating on a job, but yet, like you're saying, sometimes I'm problem-solving something, and then I'll go back to it, and I actually have a better solution or have thought about how I want to handle it as opposed to just attacking something and trying to go straight in with that. Do you ever have that when you're working with a client and they've brought in a drawing or something and you just kind of sit with it for a little while?
Well, it depends if they're standing there looking at you. That's another thing.
No, that's not too good, yeah.
Well, okay.
I need to think about this. You need to go away and come back, okay?
Oh, it also depends on... No. Well, some people... they don't mind if you're the person is standing there watching them work. Other people are like, ooh, I don't like it to stand there and watch me, so,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But if you're working on their body, how can they not?
Well, true. And I think
they look
I'm
the other way or whatever.
I'll sit there and draw in front of the person, and, you know, if they so desire, that's okay. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, but isn't it true, like, once you, it's like coming up with a conceptual one, like I'm saying, if somebody comes in with, like, a rough sketch of something that they want to have as a tattoo, and then you go back and actually create what they're going to be, and then you've got that, don't you have that tracing paper or something you actually put on the skin?
Yes, of course.
What I'm kind of referring to is that process from just their maybe rough sketch of a concept idea to actually you creating what's actually going to be the tattoo, you know what I mean?
Oh, right. That could take quite a while. It could take, a consultation and then actually putting it on the skin and not doing the tattoo, you know, just seeing how it works like that, too.
Uh-huh.
It's quite an interesting process.
Mhm. Mhm. So it's just that whole thing about, you know, so I guess going back to the whole concept of talking about procrastination on a creative level, you know, do you ever have that where you're just sitting on something and you're like, I should be working on that, but this just doesn't feel right to be working on it right now.
Well, it happens
all
the time.
Feel inspired or I just don't have the idea
Well, when a client is just not really, you want to do the best you can. At least I do, you know, when I work
mm-hmm.
with people. And sometimes it's going a little contrary to what you think would be proper or what would look good. But that's what the client wants. So you have
mm-hmm.
to do what they want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I mean, you
should. I have to interject this since you're talking about it. Have you heard that they've got a new reality series coming out now on body art?
What's it called?
I'm not sure, but it's about tattooing and how some of the... I think you'll really enjoy it, and I'll figure it out for you. But anyway, because what you're talking about, it does take a lot of thought because you know that you're putting something on somebody's body basically on a permanent level.
Oh, well, it's very permanent unless you have it removed, and then it isn't, I guess.
Does it ever stress you out?
Oh, what, doing tattoos?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Okay,
that was like
why?
That was like my doctor saying, you know, you need to kind of reduce your stress level. Is there some other job that you could do? And I've been doing this for 25 years, so I don't think I could. At this point.
Yeah, but you can totally come from a different perspective then. Maybe it's a matter of just, you know, having a different, you know, a different perspective on working with the client, working with, the element of what you're doing with that as opposed to, maybe the mindset's on that. Of course, you get a stressed out person, and they're adamant they want to get a tattoo. I mean, you're like, okay. You know,
well,
maybe sometimes it's a matter of de-stressing your client as opposed to yourself.
Well, you have a certain amount of time to get an individual, you may not know who they are, or you
mm-hmm.
may know who they are, into your confidence to perform a little procedure that's a little, could be stressful. No, if you take it away, it's definitely a sensation, a feeling of your body is definitely aware of what's going on. And if your mind isn't, then I think you'll have a problem. But as long as you breathe, it's no problem.
You're breathing.
It's like, right. But as far
I
as
agree,
I'm
sure baby,
like
there
are sometimes when I will approach this point, and it's just like, I'll take a deposit and I'll tell them to come back next week, or I'll call them when it's ready, you know, and they'll come and look at it. But sometimes the subject matter isn't what you like doing, but that's what the job is. So just make it interesting, and you know, every day is a different day.
Okay, well that's good, because I looked up, I thought I'd go online and stuff to see what's kind of coming up for the whole levels of procrastination, for cures for procrastination, you know. And there's the top three ways. Here we go. So the top three is this, actually you kind of hit on it a little bit already, Jamie. It's to be excited about it, you know. Find something about the project or the whatever you're needing to take care of, and be, you know, find something that you're going to be excited about in creating that, and you know, whether it's with Jamie, you know, you're creating that final piece of art, and knowing how the customer or client's going to love, you know, love the fact that it's what they wanted, and they look good on it, and it's really their whole thing is they're just very satisfied with everything being taken care of the way you wanted it.
Finding that piece of art and then putting it on the person, which is a whole other thing. But
right.
I would try to find something and be excited, because that's, you know, for myself, in my case, that's what kind of makes it go.
Right. What about you, Gloria? Do you have other, you know, like certain times when you've got certain aspects of your life where you just catch yourself procrastinating? You don't necessarily know why.
Well, I have come down to recognizing a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of years was like my major on-hold pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was putting everything off. And then I just felt energetically that there was a shift, and suddenly I needed to move forward with everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that in my productivity space on a 24-hour basis, most times I only need about 5 hours of sleep. And
mm-hmm.
when I come home from school, I've noticed that about 10:30 or 11 o'clock until about 2 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
I go into that part where my brain basically shuts down and doesn't want to do calculations or to think strategically. And I kind of go along with what Marvin says in that, you know, your body needs to shut down. And so just like when you go on a vacation, your brain needs to stop. And, you know, people go, oh, well, you slept. Well, when you're sleeping, your brain doesn't stop. Actually,
mm-hmm.
your brain is sleeping. And so that meditative space where you're doing nothing. So whether I'm crocheting a baby blanket or sewing, I can be physically productive, but my brain shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very restful. It's like going on a mental vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know in Chinese medicine, I'm actually looking it up as we speak. Oh, you're here at the table. There's actually a space in the evening from about midnight to about 4 o'clock in the morning, because certain organ systems and things like that, you know, they just need a rest. They just need a resting period. So, you know, mm-hmm. there's other activities and things like that you can do. I'm looking it up right now. But, the best thing you can do for some of the stuff is, you know, for keeping it healthy is just sleeping. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing to look at that. Yeah. So it's very, very interesting. It's actually your gallbladder. Your gallbladder from 11 at night to 1 in the morning. It's one of the best things you can do is just get sleep. So there you go.
I think my body clock is off, though. My sleep pattern seems to be 5 a.m. to
9 a.m.
Yeah, your gallbladder's just like...
Your gallbladder's like, what the heck? Let's just do something.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I think everybody's it doesn't matter what time I go to sleep. It seems like my body clock always wants to wake up about 9 o'clock. I cannot stay in bed past 9 o'clock unless I've gone to bed.
Me too, Gloria.
Yeah, well, you know, after about maybe usually by, especially by about 10:30, 11, I'm just like, ooh, I got to go to bed. My body's just like, you know, but I like to get up early too. I'm like, I feel very comfortable getting up between, say, 5 and 5:30 every morning, you know. I like to be up when the birds sing in the morning, because they actually do. If you're up at a certain time in the morning before the sunrise, you can hear the birds, and they, you know, as soon as it's sunrise, you can tell because the birds start, you know, doing their little song for about 5 minutes.
But see, I get to listen to that before I go to sleep, so I get to stay up.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
It's like having breakfast for dinner, you know.
Having breakfast for dinner. And you know what? They say that's actually better for you, you know, because eating eggs at night is actually better for you than eating them in the morning. Unless there's a full moon. If there's a full moon, then it's okay if you eat them then. Because, like, when there's a full moon and your body just doesn't really care, you can have, like, a smorgasbord and just kind of, you know, eat whatever you want with the full moon. So
I just had eggs for dinner.
You did? That's good. That's good for you.
You know,
your body knows what to do with that.
Well, there was an article on Facebook. Ashley McKenzie, I've told you about her. She's a registered, she's a certified dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article on Facebook today, as a matter of fact, about eggs for supper. And there were 8 or 10 recipes. We should get her on the show.
Yeah, that would be really good. Also, actually, with between the gallbladder and then from the gallbladder cycle, it goes straight into the liver. And the liver is from 1 to 3 in the morning, and for sure the liver likes to sleep. And it says once a month with the full moon, it's good to just, you know, make sure that you've got all that stuff going for the glycogen storages and stuff for the liver to go to sleep with a very light meal and just being able to just get tons of rest. It just makes your liver happy. There you go. Nothing like a happy liver. So.
I like that, a happy liver.
Happy liver, happy life.
I mean,
happy liver, happy life. There you go.
Yeah, in theory, I think that there's some substance to that, but I think in reality, everybody's time clock is a little bit different. And I do know that everybody processes and even their electrical systems are not exact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from if you stand off from it, it's really important that we respect all of those components of our body.
Yeah, your natural body rhythms is really, really important. It's very important.
You know what? Most people don't even think about them.
No, they don't. And you know what?
They don't.
I have a friend of mine that she's one of these girls that really just loves to eat raw food, and, you know, she does the raw fruits and vegetables. And the only protein she really allows herself are hard-boiled eggs and salmon.
Mm.
So the only time she has those kinds of proteins is, and she usually eats those at night. So there you go.
Yeah, but
got her salmon,
you know,
and her eggs at night kind of thing.
From a scientific perspective, if you don't have, that people who are vegans or vegetarians have a tendency to take longer to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with anything major.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there again, you know, we're back to balance. And we can take that back to procrastination, because that's another one of those things. We say we're going to do this, but I think I'll start it next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
I just said cheeseburgers calling my name. Okay, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. But I do think it's interesting, because so many of us, and I think it's probably because a lot of those function on the autonomic subconscious part of our system.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really take a look at how, you know, our particular body metabolizes or absorbs or does not absorb certain things. And to take those things into consideration when we do put things into our body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, it's just like no matter what you're talking about, there's a certain level of procrastination going on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you know, yeah. it's my birthday's coming up, and I want to drop some pounds, but you know what? I think I'm going to have that cake. Be procrastinating.
Well, yeah, and I'll wait until after Christmas. That's another good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The holidays are coming. Yeah. The holidays are coming, so let me just, like, party for a whole month, and then you say, why am I fat? Okay. Party for a whole month instead of, like, 3 days, you know? Yeah.
But we all have habits or tendencies in one area or another to do just what we're talking about right now with regards to procrastination or putting things off, including if we need a physical checkup or eating the right foods, knowing that there's something we need to do that's a little bit different. You know, a lot of times we're so used to doing things one way, and once we get used to that, then it takes constant conscious reminders by ourselves in order to make that change or that transition.
Well, the second way that they were saying for cures for the procrastination was to find yourself, like, if you know you've got a project coming up, think about breaking that down into steps or different tasks and things that you're going to need to do for that project. So say you needed to go get supplies for something that you're wanting to put together or a project or whatever, make a little side trip while you're out to, say, maybe go to your favorite park or to stop and have there might be a favorite little coffee shop or something that you like, stop and get yourself a cup of coffee or some kind of a beverage that you can enjoy and stuff like that. So part of the day is you break that up and you make it just part of that day you're going to enjoy something. So you take a little break for yourself and you treat yourself to something while you're in the process of creating something. So there's mini breaks.
Go ahead. Yeah, but Robin, right there, that sounds like a bit of procrastination.
Well, not really. It's like, you know, hey, you know, I have to stop to go to the bathroom. I might as well go where I want to go. I mean, I could go to a fabulous bathroom. Here we go.
Yeah, but how often when you go to the craft store, go to whatever store, and really stay on target with what you went for?
Well, you know, it depends on time.
Is it a diversion or do you go with purpose?
Right. Well, it could be both, though. I mean, if you know you have to go buy certain things, you've got your list.
Yeah, see, now you're,
and then you
now
allow
you're
yourself
redemption.
To go down.
Now we're into that redemption versus resolution aspect.
So is that procrastination or is that feeding your creativity?
I don't think it's either one. I think what it is
I don't think it's creativity.
No, I think we're easily distracted. I mean, if some of us got really honest, I think we're easily distracted, and sometimes we find it difficult to stay on target. And a lot of it has to do, and it's interesting because I did a consult this week about at our cores, basically we're people pleasers, mm-hmm. and we've been conditioned that way. From school, from churches, from all kinds of other things. We have to think we have to be certain ways. And subsequently, a lot of times we let, and it's not a deliberate thing, but we do allow things to sidetrack us from a project or a specific thing. And it really isn't as much procrastination as it is we've allowed something to get in that really shouldn't be there right now.
Well, you know, and in that same vein, when you look at the attention spans of our youth, you know, the younger people, and you look from levels of age, and people who are older actually have longer focus. And so the stuff that we've got with technology, the games and needing to have immediate gratification and the advertising culture, it all comes in to affect our attention spans, which right there is affecting the focus. And it goes in alignment with what you're saying, Marvine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not faulting that. I think that sometimes we have unrealistic expectations of what we're capable of.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding?
Oh, please. I can do everything. Gosh.
I don't know where that came from. Okay, anyway,
okay, well,
go ahead.
I'm totally wrong, but, you know, we think we can take all these extra things on. But what are we going to let go when we're doing that?
You're like, what?
And again, I'm not making any of it bad. I'm just saying that, you know, we're real. We're people. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us have this projected this.
You mean I have to be realistic?
Yeah.
I didn't say that
what?
Part.
Yeah.
I said be real. I didn't say realistic. Could be two different things, you know. But I think the big thing is I think sometimes we expect too much of ourselves, and sometimes true we don't expect enough. But it really is, especially today, is really hard to stay on target with some things.
Well, one
and
of the other things.
Sure, especially
if you're the only person doing what needs to be done, sometimes you have to stop. You know, you have to refocus and readjust your priorities based upon what fire is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, like you said, you know, being real and recognizing what you are capable of accomplishing and then not beating yourself up if you can't get it done, but just keeping it in mind so that you can keep it in place and you can go back and continue it.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't hurt or to be honest, to say I really need help.
Right.
You know, if that happens to be, you know, part of the process. But I think, you know, the hard part is, again, it all goes back to balance. Find your balance.
Well, one of the other things that they said for cures is to have accountability partners. Have people, you know, whether it's friends or family that you tell them about the project, and even have them get so, you know, on a certain level, getting them involved in it. So there's a level of synergy instead of just having it something you're doing on your own. You've got other people helping to participate in that, so that you know you can all get caught up in the energy and the excitement of getting it done and having it be a project that you know multiple people are participating in.
Accountability partners are great, but you got to realize they can become a crutch. And then you can start saying, well, I don't have an accountability partner, so I'm not getting anything done.
Right, that's true.
Well, and I need to add in here, accountability partners are partners who really are interested in doing what needs to be done, not just somebody we think should be interested in doing it.
Right.
And a lot of times people make that kind of a decision, whether, you know, it could be a family member or, you know, there are different situations in the workforce and things, and a lot of times, you know, we can't, it's important that whoever is doing really wants to be the doing, because if not, all it's going to do is it's going to come back to bite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and you can have that sense of being defeated because you really didn't get the support that you thought, you know, part of, you know, I think a word we need to add in here is expectation. You know,
exactly.
When a certain level of expectations come into any kind of a project, whether you're doing it for your, you know, just on your own or with other people with you, you know, that can make you feel like you want to procrastinate too, because your expectations are so high about what it should look final, you know, the final thing should look like or what it's going to take to do it. You could really sabotage yourself on a certain level of that, just expecting so much.
Well, I think that's true, but I think also another thing that we have a tendency to do, and I know I have a tendency at times, is I have a tendency to think somebody else should or could or is able to do it the way I would do it
mm-hmm.
or am doing it. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times that's just not realistic because it's not in them. That doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make me bad. It makes us different. That would be like
mm-hmm.
me picking up a violin or trying to sing a song, and I can't carry a tune in a basket, and I've got a professional singer sitting there going, oh, my God.
Well,
I
can verify that you can carry a tune. She sang Happy Birthday to me a few days ago, and she did carry the tune, and it was delightful. So there you go.
Well,
so
yeah,
she can do that. It's one of those things like you hold in your back pocket and you just say, well, you know, I could play that. You singing Happy Birthday to me. Like, no, I'll do it.
but I do think that we need to be aware that a lot of people are not capable to. I mean, Jamie, I'm sure that you know, and especially because you have a physical art. Well, Robin, you do too, that is a visible thing. And there are people that cannot do the kind of work that you do with your own creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift. Mm-hmm. And not everybody has that same gift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamie, you said something
we've been very
last week.
We have friends that support us and people in our life that help us with our creativity. And
absolutely.
The first spring.
Today's the first day of spring.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Happy spring. Here we go.
Right.
Happy.
Yeah,
so
happy.
Anyway, David, you said something last week that was kind of unusual because you are very sensitive and aware when it comes to the people that you're working with and working on. And that's big because there are other people that do that same thing and they're just not dialed in.
Yeah.
And Ron,
well, heavens, I try.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it's just, you know, that you have been doing it for so long, and a part of it, like Marvin's saying, is you just turned it, you know, as I'm sure if somebody comes in with a certain kind of drawing or certain kind of creativity with the art and stuff that they want to be expressing, it's just so much about the person anyway, just the level of symbolism that they're wanting to present to you and to the world. You get it off, automatically get a sense of that person just from what they're showing you about themselves and what they want to, you know, have as something for art for themselves.
Well, it's definitely something that's pretty popular, and I've been blessed, that's all.
Yeah, and it's just getting more and more popular. I mean, you know, there's just a handful of people out there who don't have a tattoo.
That's okay, though. That's good, too.
That's okay. Yeah, exactly. Well, like normal, you know, a half hour is just way too short for our wonderful show. So there you go, guys. So I want to thank you all for coming and hanging out on the table and having a wonderful conversation about procrastinating. Just remind everybody again, you know, get excited about what you're wanting to get into your projects and get some wonderful, fun people along with you, whether you're just sharing what you want to do and have them kind of help you to find fun ways of making that happen for yourself. And make sure that you celebrate all the little accomplishments along the way. Make some plans and break it down to where you can find some enjoyment as you're going through the process. So that's some ways of curing that procrastination. There you go. So I thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next time here at the Transformation Cafe. Thanks.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.